On Midwest Week, a wrap-up of this year's session of the Iowa Legislature. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Aaron Murphy, Lee Enterprises Bureau Chief in Des Moines, and his work appears here in the Quad City Times and Muscatine Journal. So overall, Aaron, what kind of a session was it? Peaceful, rancorous? Did they get a lot done?
It was a little bit of both. There were definitely stretches where it was quiet and maybe a little more quiet than past years, especially since Republicans took full control. But there were also those moments where some bills ignited some pretty strong feelings on both sides and had some pretty heated debates. But I think overall it was a little calmer session than maybe some we've seen over the past two or three years.
Now, one of the key bills they talked about this year and passed was property taxes. What exactly did they approve?
Yeah, they didn't do much changing as far as the taxes themselves. But what they did was made local governments take an extra step or two anytime someone's property taxes are going to go up. And that's whether because for any reason. So whether a local government decides to raise the property tax rates, or even if just property taxes are going to go up because home values go up, regardless of the reason, if property taxes revenue is going to increase more than 2%, then local governments have to take a couple extra steps. They have to get they have to hold an extra public meeting, and they have to get a stronger majority, a two-thirds majority instead of just a simple majority, in order to do that, so it maybe makes it a little tougher for when those revenues increase more than 2%.
And why not give local voters a decision over that? Because they elect the city councils and county boards. Why did the legislature sort of, in a sense, take that away from them?
Yeah, that was one of the biggest, if not the biggest, argument against it is, look, this is a local control issue. We're elected to at the local level. We put our names on the ballots. Let us decide what's best for our communities. What state legislators who were supportive of this said was they felt that local governments were kind of getting a free ride when home values would increase. So they're getting the windfall of increased property tax revenue without having to raise property taxes. So they get more revenue without doing anything, and homeowners, property owners, taxes are going up just because of home values going up. And so their argument, the people who supported this bill, was that, look, that's okay. We're still going to let you do this if you want, but you're just going to have to go through an extra step or two in order to do it and make some increased transparency in the process. So property owners know why their property taxes are going up.
Now, the Iowa legislature also talked about and approved a children's mental health system. Why is that needed, and what exactly will it do?
Yeah, well, why it's needed is there's really nothing in place right now. It's kind of a scattershot system right now. There's not a statewide kind of structure in place, and this sort of lays the foundation for that. It's a very preliminary, very limited first step. It just kind of sets forth some guidelines and puts some structure in place as far as where young people in experiencing a mental health crisis might go. So it kind of gets that ball rolling. You know, we think back to the big redesign they did a few years back, and then last year the expansion of the adult mental health care system. Those were some advanced steps in that process. This is basically step one of the children's system. So it kind of gets the frameworks established and gets the process rolling. This will be something they'll be continuing to come back and look at. And ultimately, the other thing that's lacking in this is any additional funding. It didn't any added new money specific to this framework. So that's something that they'll have to take a look at for the long term as well.
Okay. And the Iowa legislators also talked about sports betting, but they included some restrictions.
Yeah, and this one just recently here was passed into law, signed by the governor. So this one is on the books, and they'll be making the rules. And I think July 4th was the target date, and maybe a little bit after that. But anyways, roughly sometime this summer, Iowans will be able to make legal bets here on sporting events and also on the daily fantasy sports sites like DraftKings and FanDuel, if you either A, follow that stuff, or have seen the commercials for those companies on TV. some light restrictions. The maybe one big one specifically was you can't make in-game bets. People who are active in this know them as prop bets, proposition bets. You can't make those on the college games. There were some concerns about possibly corrupting or impacting the integrity of the college sports here in Iowa with the Hawkeyes and Cyclones and Panthers. And so that was a concession that they made to get enough votes to get this passed, which they've just barely got to at the end of the session. So you can't make those in-game bets. You can still bet on the games overall. You just can't bet on, you know, those little in-game or fun bets like who's going to score the first touchdown of the game or who's going to run for the most yards or who's going to hit a home run. Those kinds of bets you can't do on college sports.
Now, this is, I suppose, a dumb question, Aaron, but where will I be betting on sports from now on? Do I do it online? Is there some bookies office that I'll go to do this or what?
Yeah, not a dumb question at all. So there'll be two ways to do it. You can go and create an account at any of the state-owned operated state oversight casinos throughout the state. They will have areas now for sports betting, or you can also do it online. There will be a mobile avenue for this as well, so you can do it either way.
Now, perhaps one of the more controversial bills of the whole session was about judicial nominations. Now, has that been signed by the governor, and what will it do?
It has, and that's and it's probably going to be challenged in courts. We heard from a law firm that's preparing a challenge to it. Mm-hmm. But so that one was a debate throughout the session. Republicans talked about it right at the outset, and it had different looks throughout, and it was ultimately kind of scaled back to what they actually did was. So there's a panel, a citizen panel that nominates judges who are ultimately appointed by the governor. So these panels come up with three finalists. They send those three names to the governor, and the governor picks one of those to serve on the bench for openings in the state courts, either at the district level, at the appeals court level, or for the Iowa Supreme Court. The change they ultimately made is by changing just one spot on those panels, but it does have a significant impact in that the state Supreme Court had one justice sit on the commission, the panel that nominates judges for the appeals in the Supreme Court. They took that person off and gave one more spot to a governor's nominee. So the resulting impact is there will be 8 attorneys on these citizen panels that recommend applicants, and now 9 governor's appointments. So she will have a majority of her appointees on this panel that recommends judges for openings. Now, it bears noting that all of those governor's appointees, including this new one, have to be confirmed by a 2/3 vote in the Senate. So even if one party is in the governor's office and another party is in the minority, that minority party will still have some say. They will have a say in who goes on those panels. They can strike down a governor's nominee as long as they at least have 1/3 of members in the Senate, which they almost always do.
Okay, and one last thing, Aaron. With the Republicans controlling both the House's legislature and the governor's mansion, did the Democrats even need to show up? Did they have any impact this year?
We in the minority, you don't have a lot of influence over legislation. There were a number of bills that were bipartisan and some big ones, including you mentioned the children's mental health care bill. But at the end of the day, Republicans had the votes that they needed for most of the things that they wanted to do.